It's just awesome now that we have pastors that are meeting on a regular basis, breaking bread together. And it's, you know, and see the pastors get on board with Shift Destiny. It's just been awesome to see that. And there's been so many things that happened. Last night, my wife and I were at to hear Bob Hazlett, and it was brought up about Shift Destiny, about how it's changed in Seaford, and now there's been some major drug busts in that town, and it's all because of the efforts. And thank goodness that John moved forward on a vision that God gave him, and he's planted that seed, and people are on board with it. And so, if you've ever wanted to do a mission trip, this is a fun mission trip because you get to sleep in your own bed at night. I went to Belize and I slept in a sleeping bag, and it got down to about 90 at night, and there was a little gecko that lived up above me, and I kept wondering when that little critter was going to jump in the sleeping bag with me. So this, if you want to do a mission trip, this is your opportunity to do it right here in this community. And so I just, please consider joining us over the next 4 days. And now I'd like to give this to Kamisha.
Thank you, John. This is Kamisha Joins, and again, I didn't know her a year ago. I'll just let her share what's on her heart.
Good morning. Like the Johns has said, I didn't know them a year ago. I didn't attend the same church they did a year ago. John Rittenhouse came to the church that I was attending at the time, and he came and told us what God had, you know, shown him that he wanted him to do. And of course, you know, I was like, okay, I want to go. I've never done anything like this before, so let's do it, Jesus. Let's go out. I'm gonna do it. So Tuesday night came. To make a long story short, the enemy tried to tell me I couldn't do it. You know, this is not something that you need to be doing, you know. So I was like, okay, maybe I just shouldn't go, and I went to sleep that way. But when I woke up, the Spirit was there. He said, let's go. I got dressed. I got there. John's saying, are you a minister? I said, well, I'm a minister in training. He said, well, come on, minister. And that was actually like one of the first times I heard the word minister put in front of my name, and he would not stop saying it. And I'm like, really? I said, minister in training. So to make a long story short, John, the first day, I was part of a team with Pastor Kim and John and his wife, and I think it was like another person. And the first door we knocked on, the Spirit was so, so heavy on me. I mean, I started sweating. I think I lost like 2 pounds right then and there. I sweated so bad. I started sweating. I started crying. The lady was talking about her kids, and the Spirit was just like, I don't even know what the prayer I said. I mean, it just came. And then the next 2 days, John once again said, Minister Kamisha, you're a team leader. Just go. And I'm like, thanks, John. So for me to stand here and say that I went out here and I affected people's lives by telling them about Christ and this, that, and the third, it would be true. But the most important part is Shift Destiny is exactly what it is. It shifted my destiny. I would not be standing here in front of you today if it was not for Shift Destiny, the person that I am. Shift Destiny came at me in a point in my life where I knew I had a ministry, but I guess I just didn't feel like it was coming or going, you know, doing what it was supposed to be doing, so I had just said, it's not going to work. Okay, God, whatever. But then John and his calling me minister, and it just pushed me out there. Next thing, he calling me and put me on council boards, and I'm got meetings here and doing this and doing that. I'm like, okay, God, you know, it took John, and I call him my Mordecai because he is truly my Mordecai. It took John and Shift Destiny, you know, because he was obedient, and he listened to what thus saith the Lord, and he did it. And, you know, so now I'm standing here, and I've been standing in churches over the last couple of months. I've seen so many faces. I met so many different new people. I mean, I've talked so much. You know, if I could lose weight by talking, I would be skinny right now. I really would. I really would. But, you know, right now I'm standing up here because God wants me I don't think I have to tell you who Jesus is. I'm quite sure everybody here know who Jesus is. I felt that this morning through your praise and worship, which was awesome this morning. And I just wanted to thank you for that. God says, you know, you are all my children. You know, and in the song you sung this morning, it says, you rewrote my name. You unshackled my shame. You opened my eyes to see I am free. We are all able to say that. But there are some people who cannot say that. There are some people who want to say that. And we knocked on doors last year. To our surprise, there were so many children of God behind these doors that were just like, God, I thank you because I was about to lose my mind. I didn't know that you actually heard my prayers. We knocked on the door of this one woman who basically had just finished eating breakfast. And she said, I just made my two last loaves of bread. And we came knocking on her door, not only with a fresh baked loaf of bread, but a $25 Hungry Howie's gift card. And the Lord worked it out so we was able to give her double. And she was just like, why are you doing this? And I said, it's not us, it's God. God says that he will supply all your needs, and he is doing it. God wants us to get out of the church, which is a lovely church, but he says, it's time, my people are hurting. I need you to bring them home to me. The same thing I do for you, I want to do for them. This world is lying to my children. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Go out into the streets, knock on the doors, and show them that I am the Lord, their God. I am the King of kings. I am the Lord of lords, and I just want you to knock on the doors of the people who feel they have no hope and let them know that I am their hope. I am here to save them, you know. And like I said, Shift Destiny is exactly what it does. Last night I witnessed my own child. I'm going to get through this without crying. I'm going to do it. Last night, we're actually in the middle of a 24-hour prayer and fast at Harvest. And I took my 7-year-old daughter, who I'm raising in Seaford, who she has been bullied and tormented on school, on the bus, and I just teach her. I say, you know, her name is Imani, and I tell her, Imani, I said, this weapon that is trying to form against you, it's not going to prosper. You know, I teach her the word of God. I know that that word is in this child. I know it is. And last night, it was just confirmation. My 7-year-old daughter stood at Harvest Christian Church last night and had a breakthrough. And when I mean she had a breakthrough, I mean this child cried. And she said, Mommy, she said, I got to go to the bathroom. I said, okay. She said, Mommy, I really don't have to pee. She said, I just got to get myself together. And I said, what do you mean? She said, I don't know what it is. And I said, baby, you just need to praise through that. You just need to praise through that. You know, and then we went back out there. She just started crying. And I just said, God, I thank you because what I have been praying for, you have answered. And it's because of Shift Destiny. It's because of Jesus. It's because of my Mordecai that this is going on. And it's the way I feel right now. The way I feel, the way that we feel is how Jesus wants the rest of his children to feel. And it's not going to happen if we continue to sit on his word and continue to sit on his goodness and continue to sit on his grace. He said, you have to go out and preach the gospel. He says, you have to go out and preach the gospel. He says that I love you so much that I gave my only begotten son. He died on that cross. He shed his blood, not just for you and me, those who pay tithes and go to Bible school and Bible studies and stuff. He died on that cross for those people who out there drinking themselves into a grave, sticking needles in their arm, putting stuff up their nose, even people that is out there eating their way into the grave because they don't want to do drugs, but they will eat themselves to a grave because they want to escape what they're going through. But Shift Destiny has come to show them that Jesus is here. We are all a Shift Destiny, not just the people who are actually in Shift Destiny, but we are all a Shift Destiny member because we are all the body of Christ. And I just encourage you today, whether you walk out there with us on the door-to-door, where you come out on the main event, you can sit there and pray. Whether you meet somebody in the grocery store or at the doctor's visit, wherever, however, you shift someone's destiny in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and God bless.
Okay, so first of all, let's do a little housekeeping. Shift Destiny is an awesome outreach, but we all know who gets the glory for all of this. If you could have seen me a few years ago, this prophecy he gave this morning, God's been trimming and chafing. And sometimes it takes some really intimate things to happen, like when my son became a heroin addict 5 years ago, who's now still in recovery. And when all the children started dying around him, my wife and I would just press in and pray and protect him. He's been literally revived from life on more than one occasion. Today, he has recommitted his life to the Lord. He is seeking God. He is still not perfectly clean, and he is in a program. But we know and we believe that we will see him again picking up. He can play every instrument up here. He's gifted. He used to play with the worship team. So that is what knocked me off my horse 5 years ago to the start of the trimming process. So I just say that not as a way, please feel sorry for John. John was a successful businessman in Seaford who was a Christian, but was also stuck. Went to my church, played with the worship team, did my things. And God is doing something different, Tim. God's doing something different in our land. Because it isn't just in Seaford. We're getting back reports from all across the country that some of the things we're doing are happening in other places. I don't know how this message is going to go. I don't even know how much time do we have at this point, brother. What's typical with this? Because we're right up to noon now in our church. Okay. Yeah.
Give us the shorter
version. Okay. So here, let me say this first of all. If someone needs to leave, I'm not offended. I don't really know what I'm going to preach to you at this point because this service has just been so incredible and God has been so anointed. The anointing has just flowed up here. So let me fire through a few things that God is speaking to the churches. Some things that he spoke to me, some things that I know that he's speaking to the churches. And I just submit it to you to pray, to press into, and to check it out yourself. Revelation 22:17. You can go ahead and put the first screen up. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. This was the scripture that was downloaded 2 years ago before there was a shift destiny that God began to speak about the vision. And the simplicity of this scripture is this, and I probably touched this last year. When the Holy Spirit and his bride is not just my church or your church, it's all the churches of the community. When the Holy Spirit and the bride begin to say, come, I believe and I'm convinced that when the Holy Spirit and the bride become one and begin to walk the streets of Seaford, the streets of Blades, the streets of Bridgeville or wherever, when they run into the broken and ready, or if you will, the thirsty, because in the Greek that word thirsty literally means someone who's desperately in need of a glass of water, like the woman at the well. When the Spirit and the bride walk in unity and run into the broken who's desperately thirsty, something is going to begin to happen. Something that isn't necessarily happening every day in our churches today. Something new and something exciting that was actually written in Revelation about some things that are happening in the end of time. The water of life, that's the same water that Jesus gave the woman at the well. It's the water of life we carry inside of us. See, on my way home one night, I was sitting there and this kept happening. And I'd look across at this parking lot and I'd see all these addicts stumbling through and I would just weep over them. And I heard the still small voice begin to whisper, where is my bride? Where's my bride? So we showed up. Go to the next screen. What we found out after it was all over last year, began to ask this question. Were we an answer to prayer? We found out we were an answer to Carlton Cannon's prayers. We wept together, arm in arm. Found out that my brother here walked into a meeting. He had a vision about cross-pollinization, had to do with trees and orchards. And I was having a vision and a dream about bees and cross-pollinization. The problem with the church, it was the same time we're starting to have the bee problem. And we had this moment, we're going, God's speaking something. He's speaking something across the land. And so we found out a whole lot of prayers were being answered. But the most exciting thing that I discovered, that Jesus personally whispered to me, and I wept for days after this was all over, just understanding this. And I know we all know this, but let's think about it. Do you still pray to Jesus?
Yes.
Has he ever given you anything you asked for? Has he ever healed you? Has he ever protected your family? Has he ever done something magical or wonderful in your church when it looked like everything was going to blow up? Has he been there for you? Would you like to be an answer to his prayers? Would we like to see? I'm not here to beat up on this church. This is an awesome church. I told Pastor Tom if I was going to switch churches, I know where I'd be going at least for worship. I'm not here to beat up on this church. I'm not here to beat on any church. I love the bride. I've come to understand that Jesus loves his bride. He wants to dawdle on us. He wants to wine us and dine us. But sometimes we're so busy praying for all the things that we want, we need, we walk in this fear sometimes. Somebody spoke of it this morning. We shouldn't walk in fear. In my business with money, in the middle of a correction, you'd be shocked at how many people really, I'm wondering, do you serve the same God I do? We're not supposed to walk in fear. Beyond that, this scripture says, John 17, 20 to 23 says, I do not pray for these alone. Jesus had just finished talking to his disciples. He was praying for his disciples. Go back and read all of this chapter. It's a fantastic chapter. And in the middle of this, he switches. And he begins to look forward into the future, and he sees us. He sees many people, and he says, I don't pray for these alone, these 12 that are here with me, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. We believe in Jesus, right? Yes? These aren't hard questions. These are pretty straightforward questions, guys. If you believe in the book, I mean, I got a bunch of books in here. I'm kind of digital now, too, getting better. If you believe in the book, then you got to believe in some of this stuff. So he says he's praying for those who will believe through whose word? The disciples' words. We believe because of the disciples' word, right? So he's praying for us. Would I be correct in that? Is that logically and theologically? Okay. So what is he praying for? He prays in this scripture four times. He says the same words, that they all may be one. That they all may be one in us. They may be one. That they may be made perfect in love. This was his prayer to his Father before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed for us. And he prayed for our unity. He prayed for our oneness. And why did he say that? What was that? So that the world may believe, the world may know. Look, we're blaming all kinds of things is why the world don't believe yet. I've been to countries. You know, Christianity is growing across this world globally in exponential numbers. It's incredible. Go to Panama. Go to Nicaragua. Jesus has taken over. Amen. But he's not here. Why? Is it the president's fault, the Congress's fault? Who are we going to keep blaming? Jesus said, and I quote, that the world may believe that you sent me. When we become one, brothers and sisters in Christ, I call out to you from my heart, my deepest place. I'm not a pastor, but I'm a believer who God has cut stuff off and said, go. And so I'm going to say what he's told me to say in love. Until we become one, until we start cross-pollinating, until we do some of these things together as the bride of Christ, the world will not believe. The world cannot believe because she's yet to see a unified body of Christ. Oh, she's seen programs. She's seen a whole lot of stuff. And I'm not saying what we're doing here is bad. It's good stuff we're doing. But let's do it together. Let's be one and let's get out there and show them who we are. And by our love and by our unity, we just might have them start filling our pews. A few bums. I'm sure you guys have had them here. This church is awesome with the outreaches you do. But God is calling the bride to say, become one. Next screen, please. Matthew 16, 18 to 19. Right after Peter is asked, the disciples are asked, who am I? And Peter, by divine revelation, says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, and I also say to you. Now, Peter's identified who he is. Jesus looks at him and says, and you are Peter. You are Petros. You are a small rock. And upon this rock, this Petra, this truth, this understanding of who I am, I will build my church, my ecclesia. The word church has nothing to do with this building. Truthfully, it has nothing to do with a singular gathering. If you dig into the word ecclesia, it has to do with the calling out and the gathering outside. So upon this pebble, this little rock, I'm building on this big rock, this truth that my church, my ecclesia, my bride, as she comes together, what does he tell us? He says that the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. So why are they? We have been given, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. We carry the keys, bride. We have the keys. We do not have to walk in fear. We don't even have to walk and say, if I pray for somebody, it doesn't happen. Oh, see, that's why I shouldn't have done that. That's the devil. You keep praying. Jesus says, when you want to pray for something, that you keep knocking. Like the person who bugged the heck out of their neighbor when she wanted a piece of bread for a neighbor. He said, that's how you keep praying. You keep knocking, you keep knocking, you keep knocking, you keep knocking. You keep asking me. That's what the Bible says. And I believe that when the bride comes together and we begin to walk out there with the keys of the kingdom, as we saw last year, we had one place we showed up. The woman had a dream, had a vision. The three white people were coming to her house that day. We came through the door, Tim, me, and Audra, and she starts squealing. And we're going, well, this is kind of cool. That's what Jesus does. I'm skipping through, trying to get to the meat. In other churches, I've talked about some of the foundations of the church and to begin to call back to that. And so I'm going to kind of pass into that. But one of the things you'll find with every movement, whether it was Martin Luther, whether it was John Wesley, and in your case, Mr. Menno, Brother Menno, as you look through these, there's this cry for what you sang about today, freedom. Freedom. And it came from 2 Corinthians, and that verse isn't up here, brother, I don't believe. 3:6-17, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Skipping down, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So in this unity of the bride, as we walk in this freedom, we can stop judging each other. Amen. We can stop saying, well, you're not like me, or you're not like this, or we don't have this exact agreement here or there. We can get beyond all that. Because here's what we know. We know the blood of Christ has covered all my sins. And if I stumble tomorrow, he's going to cover me again and again and again and again. Because if he was kind enough to cover my sins when I was living in a fallen condition, how much more would he rescue me if I trip tomorrow? We can walk in that freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Leading me to the last verse, because I'm giving you the maximum minimum version. We can put the last screen up. What this is all about, in my opinion, what I believe God is doing in this nation at this time and in our area specifically is in Revelation 19:6-9. John is there with the angels and he's observing a time into the future. And he says, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as a sound of many waters, as a sound of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. His wife or his bride, depending on which variation you use. In the Jewish culture, it's one and the same. See, in the Jewish culture, when you said, I want to marry you, you became engaged. That engagement typically lasted about a year, but during that entire engagement, you were already called the wife, the husband. You had not yet consummated, but what deal was done. And usually about a year out, and you can research this yourself, usually about a year out, the groom and his posse, once he knows everything's cool and the wife's got all her stuff together and the bride has made herself ready, worked out things with dad, got the land deals all fixed, got all that stuff done, guess what he would do? At about midnight, he and his staff or his buddies would show up unannounced, like a thief in the night. And the wedding would take place and there'd be a party and a celebration. The question we have to ask ourselves and the question I bring to you, not just to promote Shift Destiny, it's a name. it's an outreach that is effective because it's God doing it, not me. But the question we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing as the bride to make ourselves ready? There's a lot of things we can be doing to do programs in our churches, do programs here, do programs there. But what are we doing as a bride? See, I'm convinced it's not the activity. It's not even the fact that Tim and I showed up at the door that day with Audra. That had nothing to do with it. God says, put yourself where I've asked you to be. Become one. Walk in unity. Walk in freedom. And I'll be released to do what I got to do. But see, we get stuck in these corners. And this is my bottom line point. And this is why I believe the gates of hell can't prevail against us. And lately they have been. As long as we stay divided, whether it's in our homes, in our churches, in our communities, in our government, as long as we stay divided and we stay in our little camps and we start putting up our barriers, we end up what? Isolated. We end up in a corner. This, because the enemy read the scripture that said, Father, make them one. He knew that was pretty important. If we don't read scripture, he does. Trust me. And he came to understand that if he could keep us divided in our little pockets, he had the game won. Doesn't mean we won't have good services, a good ministry, a good healings. He's okay with that to some degree. He'll still even show up here and try to divide your house. So the one brother over here is looking at that brother, I wish they'd dressed different. Or I wish they'd that different. I know he makes more money that way. He can give him more. All that stuff is from the enemy. It's from hell. It's not from God. I'm telling you, division is not from God. So as we become one, the enemy understands that God will be released at a level that we haven't seen. I first witnessed this, Tim, in Nicaragua on a mission trip. I went there, and as a child, I grew up in the church like a lot of us here did, and I had read the book of Acts. I'm like, Lord, will I ever see these days? I'd kind of given up, be honest with you. Good services. But I witnessed people coming in from different parts of the country. We didn't need to ask each other what church you went to. And we went out on dirt trails, teams of four. Sounds like Shift Destiny, huh? Guess where I copied it from. And we'd go out, and we saw things happening. People, one after the other, saying, yes, I want to meet this Jesus that you're talking about. Poverty stricken, tin roofs, worshiping Jesus like they were filthy rich. I came home, pulled in my neighborhood, and bawled like a baby. I couldn't even walk in my house. My family's all waiting to hear the stories from the mission field. I couldn't even go in my own house from the power and the anointing that had settled in his days. And this is where we began to say, can we not do this here? Bride, can't we do this here? Church, can't we do this here? Why not? Because the enemy has kept us divided. That's why that prayer is so important that he prayed, make us one. And it's time for the bride of Christ, to make herself ready. Pastor Tim, I'm done. Depends. What do you mean? Like right now?
Yeah, like today would be good.
Okay. So I would suggest, and again, just in the sake of time, I didn't want to do that. Is there anyone here who would like to come forward and begin to pray in unity for God to remove any shackles that's happened between this brand versus another brand, that we can begin to find that place of unity? That if that's something that's been the enemy's used against you, because he's used against all of us, come on. At one time or another, we've all run into somebody and said, well, what brand are you? Oh, you could talk to your wife. Well, you know, they're nice Methodist folk. But I've preached in three, how many Methodist churches we've been in? I don't know. But the Holy Spirit's moving there too.
Yep.
So that kind of thing, we have to shed that if we're going to actually be able to walk in unity, in oneness, and be the bride. And begin to make ourselves ready. Begin to doll ourselves up. Begin to fall in love with him so much that we'll do anything to make him happy. So that's where I would say we start. Now, I don't know where your church is. You guys might already be good there. I don't know.
What else?
Brother, you're a hard interviewer. So that's number one. Start here in your house. Number two, if you are available this week and would like to go on a mission field and you've never done it before, you can do it in your own town. On Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we have the papers to show you where to show up and at what time. Be there at 8 o'clock. Going to be with us till 5. You're not going to eat lunch. Pack a backpack. We're going to work all day long. You can be mixed up with other brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're not doing anything on Saturday, we start at 7:30 setting up. The thing runs from 11:30 to 3:30. Come out there and worship. We're hoping to have a tent full of people from different churches. As most of the events we've done, there's been minimally from 5 to 8 churches represented in most of our worship events. As many as 12 at some points. We want to have a blended worship. Why? We want to open the skies. Brother Bannon brought me an article. He's from your church here that talked about other towns where they've done this. And when the bride came together and just began to worship him, and unfortunately for a lot of towns, it takes kids to start dying before we wake up. See, because we have the solution. We have the solution. The government does it. The legal departments. I've been there. I've talked to all of them. They don't know what to do with this epidemic. We carry the hope of Christ. We have the authority, but we haven't walked in the power that we're supposed to walk in, Pastor Tim. We haven't yet been able to walk up to folks and literally touch them, have the shackles fall off like they're supposed to. And what's holding us back, I believe, is unity of the bride. The thoughts that are inside your head are important. We got to become one. Whatever it takes to become one. I'm not talking swallowing bad religion. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking anything like that. Just the core theology that we agree on. Become one. So those things are very important this week. And this prophecy you gave about the next 7 days, I don't know when that was supposed to start.
I figure it starts the first time people hear it.
I heard it. I'm telling you, whatever that meant to y'all, I was just undone because I'm expecting the next 7 days to be incredible. This is my vacation. I'm taking a vacation from work. Tomorrow's my birthday. I turn 55. And I am so excited to see what Jesus is going to do through his bride. It's not about John Rittenhouse. I'm telling you, I'm nothing. But his bride is beautiful. And he's ready to partner with us. He's ready to walk with us down these streets one day at a time. You heard a couple of testimonies. You've heard your own pastor's testimony. It's incredible. Talk to Audra. Talk to Nikki. God is moving. Now, I would also say this. If your plate is completely full and God's got you called in other areas, no condemnation. Amen. But what you might be able to do is certainly pray. If you have funds, you can certainly give. You know, funds are always needed. And we're running a little behind this year, to be truthful. So there's other ways that you can help be a part of this. But mostly, man, let's really become one. Let's begin to cross-pollinate. Let's walk in this unity that he's calling us to. Because when we do, I don't know how bad it's going to have to get, but I've said this for years. I think America, it has to get bad enough on the Christian church before we became one. Before we quit asking each other what church you belong to, it's going to become more.
Do you know Jesus?
Are you a Christian? Remember the fish story? We all know the fish, right? Where that came from? Mm-hmm. They were so afraid of death, they would make a line in the sand, and if he was a Christian, he'd complete the circle. Is that what we have to wait to in America? Because we're losing. We're losing ground. I think God's just waiting for his church to wake up.
Do you want to close the service? You want to pray a benediction and then invite people to come up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Father, I thank you today for your amazing love. I thank you for a Savior who put it all on the line, who first prayed for us and then went to the garden and said, Father, is there another way? Father, this is scary. Can I get out of this? Is there another way? Lord, can we do this differently? And Father said, no, son. If you love her, if you love this bride, this is the deal. And Jesus willingly said, okay, not my will, but thine be done. And so we thank you for a father and a son who would put so much into this relationship that he models and calls us his body and his bride. So, Father, we thank you today for an opportunity to just be a part of it. Lord, to be an answer to your prayer. Oh, how many nights in our lives have we laid there weeping and begging and then watch your hand move? And to just go back to our life. God, let that not be with your church of today. Let us continue to be stirred. Let us continue to be obedient. Let us become one. Let us be pleasing to you. And Father, I would just pray right now that before we leave, if there's anyone here, 2 things I would say. Number one, if in your heart you feel like, man, I'm still holding on to a little stuff that's kept me from being in unity with the bride, come forward. Let's deal with it. There's no condemnation, man. We've all had stuff. Come forward. Let's deal with that. Let's get it out of here. Number two, as we prayed last night over some young people, if you're a young person, an old person, anywhere in between person, if you feel like you've had in your heart a destiny that's been missed, a call that's been missed, you think you've been a minister in training maybe for 5 months, 5 years, or 50 years, I don't know, but inside of you, you've known there's something that you were supposed to do, but for whatever reason, for religious reasons, for weakness reasons, you've held back. And so I would say to you, come forward, and we will release the anointing today. We will release today that destiny that begins to make sense in clarity. And you'll begin to be sent in the name of Jesus. You don't need a theological degree to be sent. Tim did a great job teaching us that recently, sending him out two by two. So two things I think we should pray for if you have that need. Number one, if you're still wrestling with anything that you feel like is causing division in your home, your church, or the broader bride, let's deal with that. Number two, come forward. Let's release some destinies this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.